So welcome to the podcast of the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and I'm joined today by Dr. Katie Furie, a GP based in Waikato, who is also a qualified international board certified lactation consultant. And Katie spoke to us in a previous podcast about what is lactation consultancy and what can they do for our patients. And we're back to talk to her today about mastitis and breast infections in a lactating mum. So welcome back, Katie. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
So let's start with what is mastitis and what causes it? What are the organisms involved? How is it that it affects breastfeeding mums the way it does?
So mastitis is basically an inflammation of the breast. We think it happens on like a continuum of moms could be getting some breast engorgement, which leads to localized inflammation. So a stage where we would think of as a non-infective mastitis. And then as it progresses, there's milk stasis in the breast. So some organisms might be able to get in so that progresses to an infective mastitis, which is kind of what we usually would recognize and treat with antibiotics. And if there's any issues or complications with the resolution of the infection, that can then develop into a breast abscess. The common organism usually is staph. So staph aureus, so that's why we're kind of the first line treatment is with, of course, with flucloxacillin. Sometimes mum can also get streptococcus mastitis as well, and that can present slightly differently. Those are the main organisms.
And does it occur in any particular stage of the postnatal period? Is it more common in the early stages when establishing breastfeeding, or can it happen in the mum who's breastfeeding a toddler? Is there a correlation between time?
So I think it generally occurs more often in the early stages of lactation. And the reason for that is, probably multifactorial, as most things tend to be. So it could be that at the start there's sort of quite a hormonally driven milk production, and so mums are essentially calibrating still to match the baby's demand, so that leads to a more risk of engorgement. And the other side of that is the baby might still be getting the hang of breastfeeding, so mums might be experiencing some nipple trauma, which can potentially be a way for infection to get in. And I guess the other thing is, if mums are having lots of problems with mastitis, they may not then go on to breastfeed for extended periods of time. So we do tend to see it more often early on.
So how do breast infections, mastitis, because the breast abscess might be a little bit more obviously down the line, but the initial mastitis, inflammation, then infection, presumably will present with pain as the first symptom that a mum will notice, is that right?
Yeah, so the usual sort of the classical symptoms are you might see a mum, she has a tender, hot, swollen, possibly a wedge-shaped red area of the breast. That's just sort of relating to the duct distribution. They often feel quite unwell. With high fevers, they might have chills, and often they can get a lot of sort of flu-like symptoms. There are also mums who can present initially with the flu-like symptoms and then go on to develop the breast symptoms. So I probably have quite a low index of suspicion if I'm seeing mum in sort of the early postpartum days with sort of flu-like symptoms.
And how about if it's a mum on their third child and they've had mastitis with their two previous pregnancies and they present flu-y like that? Is it more common to recur if you've had it once before? Does it make it more likely that you'll get it again?
I think between babies, it's a little bit less clear. But yes, I think if you've And it also kind of depends on sort of the underlying causes. So if there was something underlying that's putting her at risk of mastitis and that hasn't been addressed, then yes, she is sort of more at risk if she's had it before. And the other issue to consider is like often it takes the inflammation a bit more time to settle. So she may have sort of areas of the breast that don't drain so well for like a period of time that then puts her at risk of having recurrent mastitis. And then there are sort of other conditions that they're rarer conditions that can lead to recurrent mastitis.
But in any breastfeeding lady with flu-like symptoms, you'd be contemplating mastitis even if they haven't got the breast symptoms just yet. And in that case, would it be usual practice to use the back pocket prescription as a tool, or are there any tests that would be reliable at that point, or is it a case of arranging a follow-up the next day? How would you recommend we tread that kind of...
So I probably would let the mum know that, like, you know, obviously you would do your history, check the systems, and potentially an exam if she's not sure or if she thinks maybe there is a sore area. But if all she has come in with is like a flu-like symptom of aches and fever, then I would sort of alert her to the red flags, like keep an eye out, make sure that you're not getting any areas of redness on the breast. Sometimes mums can present with what people commonly refer to as blocked ducts, so like an area of the breast that's not draining so well. So it might feel sort of lumpy in the localized area, and that can put them at risk of mastitis if they can't manage to clear the blocked area.
So that leads me to my next question, which we've mentioned antibiotics as part of the management, but encouraging feeding during mastitis, is that the advice that you give mums, or is there ever a case where they have to stop feeding and just express what do we tell our patients?
So if the baby's breastfeeding well, then absolutely we encourage mums to feed through mastitis, because it's kind of similar to, you know, if somebody comes in with a UTI, you tell them to keep well hydrated because you want to flush out, you know, you want to keep the kidney and the bladder flushed. So with mastitis, you want to keep the milk moving. And so if the baby is feeding well, then they're the most effective method of moving the milk. A lot of mums will worry, like, you know, is it going to harm the baby or anything like that? And particularly, you know, if they go on to antibiotics. But some babies do seem to be more fussy if mums are having mastitis for whatever reason. But it's important to reassure the mums that it's fine to keep feeding. Often what happens is they'll express and then see that the milk, you know, looks thicker, or they're worried that it looks like pus. But milk from like a inflamed breast, or potentially, you know, like a blocked area that has some stasis, do look a bit thicker and stringier. So it's not necessarily pus, and the baby will be fine.
And what do we advise patients with regards to kind of nipple management? You've mentioned cracked nipples can be a risk for the organisms getting in to the breast. So if mum's got sore nipples and mastitis, feeding, is that a reason to stop feeding, or is there something we can do to enable her to keep feeding?
So yeah, we can do like a whole podcast on sore nipples. So essentially, if you've identified that she's also got cracked nipples, which potentially is the cause of the mastitis, it's really important to address why the nipples have become cracked. So a lot of mums sort of think that it's normal to have cracked nipples in the early days, but really that's a sign that there's something not right going on with the baby's attachment at the breast. And to sort of figure out the cause kind of takes a bit of time. You kind of have to watch them feed. So I think that's a really good situation to say, you know, it looks like you've got cracked nipples. I think a lactation consultant might be a good idea, because one the most common cause of cracked nipples and nipple damage is suboptimal positioning. So if you are comfortable and you've had experience, then definitely I would, you know, give them some tips on how they can improve their positioning. So essentially, if a baby is positioned well, if there's no other issues going on, then the nipple shouldn't be traumatized. So yeah, so in that situation, I would recommend seeing a lactation consultant. And what I often do is also provide some links to some information about some of the ways they can troubleshoot their own positioning themselves.
Cool. So antibiotics, you mentioned flucloxacillin is the first line. Is there ever a need to do any investigations at this first initial stage when it's a clinical diagnosis? You mentioned possibly pus could be expressed. Are we needing to swab that? Do we ever need to think about blood tests? Or is it a clinical diagnosis and initially starting with flucloxacillin?
Yep. So mastitis is a clinical diagnosis. Essentially, when to investigate would be if there hasn't been any response to the antibiotics within 2 days, if it's recurrent, if it's a hospital-acquired mastitis, because that can be unusual organisms, and if they are allergic to the usual antibiotic choice, or if it's a really severe or unusual presentation, then we would think about doing a milk culture. So that's again, similar to, you know, when you get a midstream urine, to, you know, use an analogy that we're all very familiar with. So essentially you just get mum to do like a little bit of cleaning. Everyone seems to have a different way of doing it. Some people will do a wipe with alcohol wipes. Some people might just pat the area with a bit of sterile water. There's not a very consistent way of collecting the milk culture, but you get mum to hand express a bit of milk, and then so you don't use the first couple of mils, and then you catch sort of the next say 5 mils, and then you can send that to the lab for culture. But I think it's not really commonly done, and often it's limited to sort of like in hospital, where the microbiologist might be more familiar because they get sort of more of these unusual presentations. So you just kind of have to specify, like, you know, this is a breast milk sample.
Cool. So as long as mum's well enough to go home, obviously that we would work these patients up the same way we would any infection. And we feel that there's a clinical picture that fits with mastitis, and we start with oral antibiotics, and the advice is if this isn't improving within 48 hours, you should be getting reviewed. What are the complications, though, that we could be then seeing subsequent to that? What are the things they could come back with?
So apart from, you know, a persisting infection that's not being adequately treated, there is a risk of developing a breast abscess. And I guess the other thing to consider is if there is any underlying condition that's causing the mastitis. So if they come back with like a persisting lump, then that's when I would do an ultrasound to, you know, make sure it's not an abscess. And the other thing is to make sure there's no underlying mass that can potentially be like a locus of infection or a locus of milk stasis.
So if you can palpate a lump, then you're thinking abscess as the first primary complication there, and obviously an ultrasound is a useful tool for that. And these days POCUS ultrasound is becoming more common in urgent care settings. But an underlying breast cancer is something we have to have on our radar potentially as well, which is another benefit of doing that imaging. With regards to mums getting sicker and ending up with kind of septic conditions, is it more common with a mastitis because it's more akin to the kidney? It's quite a good way for the bacteria to enter the bloodstream. Is it more common lactate?
Yeah, I think so while you're lactating, I think about 80% of your circulation goes through the breast, so is big blood flow. So mums are at risk of deteriorating really quickly if it's not being treated promptly. So again, it's important to just, you know, make sure they have someone that can support them. And if we're thinking about the mum and the baby as a dyad, if she is really unwell, then someone needs to help her look after the baby as well. So so the other parts of the management of mastitis is rest, hydration, and nutrition, which, you know, if you've had a new baby, you don't get a lot of that unless you really focus on yourself. The other thing I would prescribe if there's no allergies is regular ibuprofen, so regular NSAIDs to help with the inflammation. If they've got a lump, what a lot of mums tend to do is they get told or they feel like they need to unblock the duct or massage it out, and often it can sort of exacerbate the problem by increasing the inflammation through, you know, excessive vigorous breast massage. What we usually recommend is like a light lymphatic massage to try and relieve some of the edema. So instead of massaging towards the nipple like you would think logically if you're trying to get the milk out, we advise mums to do like a light stroking movement towards the axilla, so you're trying to improve the lymphatic drainage. So we've got there's a really good video online that I usually send to the families, which has been that's a research validated way of to relieve some of that swelling. And other things they can try like a warm compress, or some mums find that having like a cool compress actually feels better and helps the milk to flow. So I usually just give them the information and let them sort of experiment, because if you think about it, if you twisted your ankle, you're not going to be, you know, massaging that vigorously. You're going to be having it elevated, you're going to have your anti-inflammatories, you're going to try and get the swelling down as much as you can by not disturbing it too much. So it's kind of a similar process with the breast. You want to handle it like it's got lots of delicate tissue, and it's a gland, so you're not gonna be really vigorous and worsen the trauma.
So that's important then, to make sure the whole family and kind of support structures in place to help mums in this situation, because they need that rest and they need to look out for themselves in this sort of situation. It's not a case of giving them a pill and carry on for their benefit. Going on to the abscess again, if we suspect an abscess and we do an ultrasound and it confirms an abscess, what do we then do? What's the options for draining that abscess?
So the current recommendations for draining the lactation-related breast abscess is to do aspirations rather than an incision and drainage. So we usually would be referring them to your local, I think in Hamilton is the breast care clinic. And the reason for that is you want to, you know, drain the pus, but you're trying to just conserve the anatomy as much as possible. And sometimes mums might need repeat drainages, or there's a breast surgeon in the US who has done a lot of work in this area. She sometimes will do an aspiration and then leave like a pigtail drain to drain the remaining pus. We're not going to be doing this in urgent care, but sometimes people worry that, you know, it's going to leave like a fistula, but milk fistulas are quite rare, and if we think about fluid dynamics, if we're always feeding, like keeping the frequent feeding going and draining the milk through the nipple, then the milk is going to go to the area of least resistance, and that will allow the wound to heal.
So we'd be referring to either your local breast care clinic or the on-call surgeons would be in the evenings and overnight for the unwell breast abscess, presumably would be still managing these with ultrasound-guided aspiration. So if we're referring to a surgeon, mums don't have to think they're necessarily getting surgery. The surgeons will aspirate as the first line.
Yes, although as with most things relating to breastfeeding, I think local practices and surgeon preference might vary.
Yeah. And just an additional question there. In terms of if mums have had prior surgery to the breast or breast implants, does that affect mastitis management at all?
Potentially, I guess that can be a risk factor. So if the breast surgery has disrupted or caused scar tissue that disrupts the milk flow, then they can be a risk factor for developing mastitis. But I think if they're having these other complications going on, I would be referring these mums onwards.
Excellent. So I think the take home from a lactation consultant point of view here is that cracked nipples can be a cause of mastitis and recurring mastitis, which can be related to poor feeding techniques. And so those patients we should be linking to a lactation consultant. So when they present to urgent care feeling a bit fluey with an erythematous breast and some breast pain, we are treating them as per the protocols, flucloxacillin, unless they're allergic, and safety netting them for any of those potential complications. But we're potentially saying, hey, seeing a lactation consultant could improve your feeding journey here and prevent this from recurring, particularly if they've had previous pregnancies with the same outcome. So we should be engaging with those sorts of patients with a lactation consultant. Would you be in agreement with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I probably, so some of the other risk factors for developing mastitis in addition to cracked nipples are anything that increases your risk of engorgement. So having long feeding intervals or sometimes sticking to like a strict schedule can also put mums at risk. And, you know, when they feel like they're doing everything right and following whatever schedule has been suggested to them. Sometimes it can happen from like missing a feed. So if the baby has a unexpectedly long sleep and you get engorged, that can also lead to mastitis. So in general, I take a mum who presents as mastitis as a sign that there may be some, you know, could be pretty straightforward issues, but potentially some breastfeeding issues that should be looked at or at least considered. The other thing I would be on the lookout for is if mum has like an oversupply or hyperlactation. So that means her body is making more milk than what the baby is taking. So that means she's often full. And so that increases the risk of blocked ducts, and she's going to have to empty it really frequently. And these mums often feel so uncomfortable, they feel like they need to pump. And when they pump and remove more milk, it then increases their milk production. So they kind of get into like a little bit of a vicious cycle. So these mums need quite a lot of support to try to like gently down-regulate their production back to like a safer level or one that sort of matches what the baby is taking more. So I would provide them with information on, you know, you might not have to identify all the risk factors yourself because that's quite a time consuming consultation, but you can give them, there are some really good leaflets or info sheets about mastitis from the La Leche League, for example. So that's written sort of for mums. And if you wanting to learn more about sort of the management of mastitis and what things you can look out for, the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine has a protocol on mastitis that's written for doctors. So that's quite a free resource available on their website.
So that's interesting. So there's probably good reason to suspect that any lady presenting with mastitis could have an issue underlying it that you could identify and therefore help resolve and prevent future episodes. So even though it is quite an easy consultation in an urgent care setting, the answer's often in the triage, and the consultation can be fairly quick, and you can dispose of the patient with a prescription and some advice. That little extra step that we referred to in the introduction podcast that we did of just considering the lactation consultant service could make a difference to both preventing recurrence and future pregnancies. So we should not just assume that lactation consultancy has no role in an urgent care setting. We should make that little link, and it shouldn't take us long if we've got the information to hand, and then you can do the more time-consuming digging into the risk factors and the other causes. But if we just create that handshake and that connection, then we could make a big difference to our patients.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you, Katie, for that was mastitis and breast abscess. We have a list of other things that we will be discussing in future podcasts that have a relation to breastfeeding and urgent care. So we will speak to you again in the future. But for now, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
My thanks to Katie for talking to the podcast. Just a couple of additional points that she would like to add. The Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine is currently in the process of revising their mastitis protocol. The current protocol is linked in the show notes, but do watch out for the latest one when it comes out, because it might have some practice-changing considerations. Secondly, Dr. Katrina Mitchell is a US oncoplastic breast surgeon and an internationally board-certified lactation consultant who regularly presents to the American College of Breast Surgeons on the surgical management of the lactating breast. She is a presenter at the upcoming New Zealand Lactation Consultants Association online conference, which is running from the 11th of February to the 6th of March. Details on tickets, if you're interested in attending, are in the show notes. And I've also included several other links that Katie feels worth checking out down in the show notes. Now, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. Now, we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.